If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Only That Which Is Born of Love Is Real and Lasts Forever. All relationships are only with yourself. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and ask for the clearing of your whole being. Oh, that feels so good. You can feel those tingles from the top of your head going all the way through your body. With that deep breath and the intention to present yourself to Spirit. Let's do that again as you allow the day and the thoughts and everything that's gone before this moment to be released and dissolved in loving. Deep breath. And Divine Spirit, we ask at this time for the clearance so that each listener may receive that which is for their highest good at this time, according to their perfect light quotient and ability to receive and absorb whatever is transmitted tonight. We ask that any negativity, any energies that are not aligned with truth, that is to say love, simply be dissolved back into the nothingness, for only love is real, and nothing real is ever threatened, and nothing unreal exists, so we don't have to worry about that, do we? And as you feel your body begin to move back and forth, you know, the inner spirit moves a great deal like a candle flame. You ever watch a candle flame? It gently moves. The divine fire that is your holy essence responds in a similar way to the infilling of the divine. And it feels so, so wonderful to simply present yourself. Ah, so let's chant Hue. And as we chant Hue again, we clear the mental body of all static and thought forms and everything that would clog present clarity. Deep breath. Just ask to be filled, surrounded, and protected by the light of the Christ, the Holy Spirit. And just notice how you feel now. Isn't that delicious? It's so simple to clear yourself and ask for that which you need. We all need to be intentional when it comes to wanting to stay connected to our higher self, our higher sense of being. It's a very intentional place that we train the lower levels to align with. The lower levels are innocent, you see. We have come to impress them with the truth of our divinity. Those lower levels of the mind, the emotions, the physical cells, the cellular memory, the bodily personality. All of those have to be trained to become transparent so that the Holy Spirit, the whole spirit of your holiness, can inhabit every level of your expression. It doesn't involve a process or time. Time is something that the mind has created to understand the linear appearance of the passage of events. In truth, we live in this ocean of all that is. And we've become associated with certain passing thoughts, moods, attitudes, memories within the whole collective. All of this passing parade of fleeting impressions. And we have associated ourselves with certain of those fleeting impressions and become attached to certain fleeting impressions and gather them all up to form in our misunderstanding of self a separate person, a separate identity, a separate world, let's say. And that has kept us living confined and small, imprisoned in what has been termed the ego, which is a sense of separation and difference. But we're not an ego. We've never left oneness with Source. We've never, ever departed from the heart of love. Ever. It's impossible. The Course of Miracles clearly tells us that ideas leave not their source. And we are the idea of sharing love in the heart-mind of God. We are that idea of extending love and joy and creativity and beauty and exuberant life, more abundant. That's who we are. That's what we are. And the only thing that was ever born as the uniquely begotten was love. And that is soul, or Atma, or spirit, or the true divine self. that you and I and everyone is forever and ever. So that which is born of love is real and lasts forever, and only that which is born of love is real and lasts forever. That means everything birthed through your own unique creative extending of yourself as love is also lasting, everlasting. So that is something that we are being taught from within, to remember our original holiness, our original wholeness, our original innocence, our original incorruptibility, our original purity. That remains still. That has never been affected by our passage through this field of thoughts and moods and impressions and goings and comings. And the many, many forms that we have extended our love through. Because only in the times that we have extended that love was there an eternal effect. So every time you teach love, and you will teach, because you cannot not teach, and you teach what you would learn, and what you teach yourself, and learn in that process. And that's why Jesus in the Course of Miracles says, teach only love, for that is who you are. So that's a position that perhaps we will always be in. Who can say? But we will always be communicating, because that is the nature of the living word of living love that we are as a soul. We communicate. And as we communicate, we are learning. As we learn, we teach. So you see, we're always a teacher, and we're always a student. Because there's no end to the expansion of divine awareness. And so we're always revealing to ourselves another aspect that we've yet to discover about this self that we are, that is indistinguishable from Source. So we're going to look at relationships tonight. I had no thought to speak on relationships. I didn't want to speak on relationships. But the Holy Spirit wants me to speak on relationships. So we ask the Holy Spirit for great clarity and understanding what is shared tonight. And I ask to be a pure instrument to communicate what the Holy Spirit drops into the awareness, word by word, as best I can receive. And that's how the Holy Spirit will direct our words and our actions. If we take no thought of ourselves, how we're going to speak, or what we're going to speak, or what we're going to do. But we clear ourselves and intentionally position ourselves the best we can to receive what is appropriate within each situation and relationship and moment. So all relationships are only with your self, capital S. All relationships are within only. They're not outside of your own mind, your own interpretation. In our last seminar, we spoke about how each mood and attitude and state of mind and emotion, viewpoint and belief creates a world of its own that we inhabit. And this is when you're confined in your own little arena where you've identified yourself as a body, as a mind, and as an individual person. This is not the enlightened state, but it is an experiential state that every one of us is in until we learn how to be empty so that we can be totally spirit indwelt. So the ego mind is not there with its conditioned, familiar patterns. It has been dissolved in the love and subsumed into perfect holiness. So mistaken thoughts that have created a world that outpictures war, violence, awful things happening, is not the world that love created. And therefore, by the definition of Jesus in A Course in Miracles, is not real. Our belief that it is real is the only thing that needs to be questioned. For it is not born of love, the world that we see on the nightly news. It is not a world that gives rise to joy and peace and a sense of well-being that everyone partakes of. Jesus says something in A Course of Miracles that is so riveting. It bears our contemplation. It bears my contemplation. And it's this. Unless everyone you encounter or even think of shares your peace, there are still dark images lurking in your mind. Wow. Well, from my personal experience, there's a mixture. And I think it's probably true of all of us. If you think of your friends and your associates, as we allow the Holy Spirit to heal our minds, to return them to sanity, the world becomes more of a happy dream and you have less and less of the negative drama going on, right? Perhaps more and more of your friends or light workers are awakening. And you have more and more loving encounters as you go out and move about the world. And there's less and less problems that seem to show up with your friends and the people that you know. Although you may still have issues, you may have people and things in your life that are going through serious karma dramas, we could call them. And so they're not at that peace. They're not sharing that peace. And yet Jesus said, unless everyone that we encounter or even think of shares our peace, there are still dark images lurking in our mind. So what does that mean? Well, I think it really means that it's a good indicator of how much the transfer value of the principles in A Course in Miracles is actually making that correction of our thinking when we see less and less suffering in the friends and people and things that show up in our awareness. That's what I think. What do you think? What's your experience? Have you found that there's less and less drama and problems going on in your life and in the lives of your family, your friends, people you even think of? Yeah, I find that to a large extent. However, Jesus also clearly describes the time that when our mind is fully restored to sanity, has fully accepted the atonement, which is what he calls that return to wholeness or salvation. Once we've fully accepted that, we will only encounter and see the divine loving perfection in everyone and everything. Wow. I'm pretty much in that state. However, Jesus said that peace is like pregnancy. It's either total or not at all. And peace and joy are one and the same in vibration. Peace, joy, love, sanity, life, reality, we could put them all in the same vibrational state. So what we're doing that has created this mischief is that we have misidentified ourselves with transient things, passing thoughts, moods, opinions, points of view. We're stuck in a particular mindset. And some of us pass in and out of these worlds that we create, out of these attachments, throughout the day as our moods and thoughts and emotions shift, while others may inhabit for years and some even lifetimes these points of view where they're stuck. For example, ancient grievances, family and tribal and national feuds, envies, hatreds. These things can be carried on from one generation or lifetime to the next. And this accounts for why we'll see such odd attractions or repulsions within, for example, a family or a group of people. Sometimes you feel like you're with absolute strangers. You have so little in common. And yet the truth is you will never meet anyone, anywhere, at any time that you haven't had some relationship with at some point. And yet every single one of these is simply a mirror in which we either recognize our own divinity, or the ego uses it to attack and separate. There's the two things going on here. There's the false self, who hides out in the body trying to hide from God. The ego created the body as a fortress of defense against the truth of your formless, eternal perfection. So when you identify with the body and the mind, you're basically identifying with the mischief maker that constantly lies and projects lies and projects reasons why you should hate and distance yourself from just about everyone. Or if the ego finds that it can gain something for itself, then it'll, you know, cozy up and try to develop a relationship. But it's always that wanting to get something, get, but not give. And so the ego is that needy, greedy part of us that is always trying to make a deal, always trying to barter, bargain, and manipulate and control. And, I think we're all very familiar with that part of us, aren't we? We all have that part that we're here to shine away in the truth of love. So these ancient grievances keep coming back in another form, in another presentation, in another role, often within the same family, only usually with a different gender and role. Yes, we shift from male to female, female to male, back and forth, back and forth. Not always, you know, where you'll have a whole bunch of lives as a woman and a whole bunch of lives as a man. You know, they alternate. In other words, whatever suits the lesson of the soul, that will be the gender that person takes. I hear somebody asking, well, what about transgender? Anything involving the body does not matter spiritually at all, okay? Sometimes a person will come in feeling they're the wrong gender in the body. And that may be because they might have one or two basic cells or body elementals that are male. And they will, of course, vibrate more to being masculine or male than they would if they were born in a, you know, female body. So these things are just a matter of your personal preference. They have nothing to do with you spiritually. They have nothing to do with the relationships that you find yourself attracted to or drawn to. Nothing at all. Nothing that has to do with your body is real. And nothing that you have to do with your body lasts forever. Okay? So do not worry about what you do or don't do with your body. That's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing upon that which you are eternally, and that is the idea of sharing love, extending love. That's it. That's the only thing that counts in all of this. This whole kit and caboodle that we're involved with here in this thing we call life and this thing we call being a human, which again is a, it's an idea we've conjured up to explain our differences. But in truth, we are and have been forever spirit. That's it. Immortal, perfect, divine, whole spirit. So we'll take on different genders and roles, and this would include straight, gay, transgender, bisexual, put in your own whatever in that. Different races, different nationalities, different cultures, different religions. We go through every single possible thing. And it's all serving in the experience that we are having as we explore, I guess you could call it, this field of ever-changing samsara, this sea of change and impermanence and the shifting moods and variations of consciousness that we can tap into and dance with and explore. Because again, I believe that's part of the true self, that eternal inquisitiveness to explore and extend divine awareness. So, looked at spiritually, it's all good. It's all working itself together for your spiritual expansion of awareness. And so, within this exchanging of roles, within the incarnational patterns, for example, your great-grandfather could be reborn as your daughter, your former wife or husband as your child, or sibling or parent. So it's the same souls, new roles, in which you get an opportunity to forgive and release old issues. And these patterns repeat until the issue is finally resolved or balanced. But the buck has to stop somewhere. And that's usually with the most aware and conscious person within any given family or situation. But make no mistake, until all in your life is resolved and rests in unconditional loving, you are not home free. Why? Because you yourself have come to be love, to teach love, to know love, to exemplify and model love, and to learn love, unconditional love. And you as soul are that, but again, those levels which commutate and step down the awareness of the soul into the human vehicle instrument has to be trained to accommodate and resonate with you as soul. You are the soul. You are not the separate individual that's playing all of these roles. So since the world that each one of us lives in is of our own projecting, our own interpretation, what is the world that you inhabit every day? What's it like? Moreover, what kind of worlds do your friends and associates inhabit? Again, Jesus in A Course in Miracles states that they are related. In fact, they mirror each other exactly. Our inner world and our outer world and the things that come into our experience. We could say, as within, so without. And we probably most of us have heard the cliches, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are, or birds of a feather flock together, or the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, to some extent, according to the ego, that may be accurate. However, in the case of light workers, we may choose to be born in a family or in some relationship not due to any personal reason or karmic issue, but simply to assist another soul or group of souls. Because you see, the very nature of the soul is self-bestowal, selfless giving to assist in bettering the lives of others. You'll notice that any person who is soul-infused lives to be of service to others. They're not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about others all the time. Do they have any down moments? I don't think so. When you fully are self-realized, no, you don't. That's how you can tell a person that's self-realized. They're there all the time. And until you stabilize at that higher level, you're in and out, up and down, all over the map, until you bring every level of your being to be congruent with the divine love of the soul that you truly are. So in some cases, light workers may be the only spark of light and love in that entire family. They're like a mighty tugboat that may pull a whole shipload of fools to safe harbor. And it's a lot of weight to pull for a little tugboat. But they're built to haul big ships. So perhaps within this you can see two basic soul patterns. One of those who are here to learn the lesson of love, and those who have awakened as love. Which are you? Are you still seeking love in some outer relationship or situation to complete yourself? Or are you centered in your own loving? You know, that's the best way to center yourself and ground yourself is loving. Yeah. So in relationships, are you mainly seeking to acquire something, security, sensual pleasure, someone to make you feel more complete, or money, or prestige? Or are you more of the mindset of being a teammate, someone who is coming in to give, to contribute, to be part of something that is a mutual endeavor? You know, the best relationships are where two individuals become one in loving partnership. Just as each individual inhabits a world that perfectly matches their state of mind, so each relationship likewise inhabits a world of their own combined energies or state of consciousness. So you create a world when you come together, just like you create a new life when you come together physically, or in the case of the higher planetary worlds, when you come together in the merging of soul and the creative mind. So Jesus in A Course in Miracles teaches that the purpose of relationships is happiness, to be of one accord. That's where it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am present. You have to be in one accord for the descent of the Holy Spirit to be present in that relationship. And since the Holy Spirit, or the whole Spirit, comes only in the frequency of peace, it's so important in a relationship to come to one accord so that your relationship can be indwelt by that divine presence, and thus it is sanctified and made holy. Another way that Jesus puts it is this. It's that we enter the kingdom of heaven two by two. Our holy brother or sister is our guide to discovering our own original innocence and holiness. That as we look to see through the eyes of soul, looking beyond the outer body and the personality and see another as soul. It's in that seeing the other as the beloved that we awaken to our own divine belovedness. So what we see in another, we are revealing to ourselves. And that's why relationships are the very best spiritual practice, the best yoga, in which we can overcome and transcend our egocentric selfishness and learn acceptance and allowing and patience and unconditional loving. As Ram Dass has put it, we are here to walk each other home. I just love that. We're walking each other home. So in a relationship, when you have differences of opinion and you're getting ready to give each other a piece of your ego rather than your heart or your mind, same thing as the ego, if one of you can stay conscious enough to go into silence, usually that will break that tendency to start going into ego mode. Eckhart Tolle has a series of wonderful lectures and suggestions for relationship, conscious relationship, and holding the presence as a way of avoiding those temptations that we have to become unconscious, which is what happens every time you go into the ego mind. You go unconscious. You forget God. You forget love. You forget everything. And you just go into that karmic pattern, that eye for an eye and tooth for tooth, you know, that sort of thing. So these are things that we all need to study and inquire into, whether you use the Course in Miracles or some other particular approach to developing loving and openly communicative relationships where you learn to speak from the heart and to ask for what you truly want rather than projecting and expecting and demanding and all that stuff that the ego does. Whatever process you use, I believe it's important that you use something as a tool, Eckhart Tolle, whatever, to learn how to re-establish your balance when you feel yourself losing it. Because relationships are also designed to sandpaper and to trigger the areas of your weakness. So the issues can be worked out, they can be brought to light, they can be cleared. And it doesn't have to get ugly, which it certainly will if you don't make some effort to wake up within that relationship dynamic. So one of my favorite sayings in A Course in Miracles is this one. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. Wow. So in relationships, we learn to take full responsibility for ourselves, our happiness, our fulfillment, and our personal state of being. We don't marry someone and expect them to make us happy, to fulfill us, to take over telling us what to do and guiding us through life. No, we take full responsibility for ourselves. That is to say, our inner state of well-being. That's our business. That's not something somebody can give to you from without. If they do, it's that ego thing that's temporary and will soon turn into hatred. Because the ego does not know anything about love or harmony or cooperation or unity. The ego is incapable of love. It's incapable of truth. It's incapable of anything that is real and eternal. It's false, the false self, which is not you, it's the thought and belief of separation. So when we're able to take full responsibility for our own state of consciousness and well-being, then we can come together without being needy and greedy and demanding and, you know, all the things that people do when they're not full within their own being because they haven't taken responsibility for filling their cup. You have to fill your cup, and the way you do that spiritually is through connecting with Source. That's what gives you energy, is your divine connection. If you're running on the mind and on the egos and on the ego steam and emotions, you'll wear yourself out. You'll burn out. And you'll have nervous breakdowns. You won't have any sustaining energy. So you constantly have to be nurturing your spiritual well-being, however you do that. You need that alone, one-on-one with God, silent time, or whatever it is you do that keeps you surcharged with energy. So that's self-mastery, when you are able to be self-sustaining and self-nurturing and self-fulfilling within your own personal being, where you don't have to demand and lean on and expect another to do it for you. And that's also the secret of living harmoniously within any relationship and environment. You allow yourself freedom to be yourself and do what you need to do to keep yourself centered and clear and happy and healthy. And you extend that same freedom to your partner. You've got to have space in a relationship. Have to. You have to have personal time and space for your time to infill your spirit. Must. There's just no option to not do that. Now, when two masters marry, that's how they live. Maybe a lot of you have never seen two married people who are also masters. However, I have. And that's how they live, in perfect harmony. They're both focused, not on each other, but together they're focused upon serving. That's their focus, serving all life, humanity, whatever. So if you are in a relationship, what kind of world have you co-created together? And you might want to make some adjustments if it needs some tweaking. So relationships are many, many kinds. All of life here is relationship. There's nothing that's not something we're relating with or to. They can be personal, which is strictly, you know, where you're learning karmic lessons and working things out, balancing and so forth. They can be dharmic. Dharmic life is where the life is oriented to spirit and is directed by spirit. And it is exemplifying divine principles through your life. You're doing your dharma. You're doing your divine dance, your divine exemplification. And then there's relationships of those who are learning that they are love and those who know they are love. So there's these people that you can see that are just barely starting to come out of total identification with the body and the ego and the mind, and they're beginning to learn that, wow, I'm something more than my body. I'm something more than my thoughts. Oh, love is within me. I have love, you know, or light. You know, you could say they're learning that they are the light. They're not seeking the light. They've discovered that they are the light. Light, love, same thing. There are some relationships that are for a specific purpose, like, for example, to bring certain souls through the body as their children, or to start a business or a particular ministry together, or to have a mission. And that may be for a time in a season or a cycle, or it may last for a lifetime. Hard to say. It depends on the souls and what they've come in to do. So, very often with light workers, we will have a variety of partners that come in to share a portion or a cycle of a given mission, let's say, that we're undertaking. And we can have quite a few of these, you know, as depending upon how large and extensive our field of service, you know, and how many aspects that may be involved in it. And this... you know, there is no good or bad in this. It just is what it is. But it is important and wise to remember that everything that has a form also has a beginning and an ending, because all form is impermanent and subject to change. In fact, cannot not change. The only thing that lasts forever and is eternal is you as a divine spirit. And that's what you create through love. Love is eternal, because love is God. So all change begins and ends in the mind and nowhere else. Whenever you deal with mind and thoughts, you have change. And there's nothing good or bad in that. It's just a fact. Wherever you have form, you have the beginning and endings. Wherever you have the mind, you have change. So the mind is the agency for change and the agency for the creation of form. Mind is the agency for change, and soul the agency of the changeless. Yes. Spirit or soul is the agency of the changeless. So in any relationship, it is impossible to change another. You can only change your mind about another. And that's why you have to always work on yourself. When you don't like something in another person, or you're resisting it, or combating it, or just, you know, really expecting that person to change. Not going to work that way. Only change your mind, your thoughts, your attitudes about that person. That's the only thing that's going to work. And then, you know, it's a funny thing. When you change your attitude towards a situation, that situation must change. But it's an internal thing. It's your mind that changes. And when you change your mind, your outer experience and point of view shifts accordingly. I've had that happen so many times. There were a couple people in my life that I absolutely did not like. That's rare for me because I'm very open-hearted and friendly by nature. But there were a couple that just gave me the willy-jillies. I did not like them. I didn't want them around me. And I said, Sai Baba, this is terrible. You must change. You must change me. I can't be like that to anybody. Everybody is an incarnation of God. How can I dislike these people? Please change me. And honest to God, what happened within, oh gosh, not even a day, my whole being turned from disliking that person to open-hearted, neutral, embracing, and love. And my heart was filled with love for this person. And I just couldn't do enough to serve them. I was thinking of what can I do to serve this person and everything. And I couldn't even remember having felt anything but love. The whole inner self, when I asked Sai Baba, or, you know, you can say any name or form of God. For me, it was Sai Baba. But you could say Jesus, Holy Spirit, Krishna, Buddha, whatever. Please, Holy Spirit, please change my mind. Please heal my mind of hatred and disliking this person. And just give me love. Just give me love. I only want to love. And I promise you, the Lord will change you from within. The Holy Spirit, Divine Spirit, Jesus. Don't make it harder for yourself than you have to. Don't think you have to do it yourself out of your own personal limited self. Once you give it all over to the Lord from within you will do it all for you. It doesn't take time. It takes your willingness to surrender the negativity to the loving. That's all. You do this thing where you just take everything in you that's not of love, and you lay it at the feet of the Lord, and you say, Lord, take this and fill me with your love. Let every thought, word, and deed be drenched with your love. And where I just absolutely don't know how to love or send love or feel love, would you just flow your love through me? Flow your love through me, and I'll be your instrument. I do that a lot, and it always transforms me, simply and without any effort, but surrender and willingness. That's it. That's all. So just know that all transformation begins with a change of mind and your pattern of thinking. How you think and how you interpret and how you project. Just be love. Just be love. And as you do that, you'll find that your whole life, your whole experiential world shifts accordingly. And all you did was change your mind about what you wanted to have real and lasting. Nothing that's real can be threatened. And nothing that's unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That is the fundamental opening principle in the Course in Miracles. So do remember that only that which is born of love is real and lasts forever. And all relationships are for the purpose of communicating and sharing love. And whatever you love is eternal, and you can never lose it. Loved ones can never be separated. You will be drawn to each other across the vastness of the cosmos, if necessary, but you will always experience being connected and one. You will always be together. Line up, if you will, within your heart, all of the people that you've ever loved. This is just a little exercise you can do on your own. In your mind's eye and within the field of your heart, line up all the people and things that you love. And discover perhaps something amazing. That love is one. And you can find that loved one within your heart. You can find them there. They're a presence. Like that, you are an idea of love that has never left the heart and mind of God. And all your loved ones have never left you either. We're talking about the reality of love and that it lasts forever. And when we awaken fully and this dream dissolves in limitless love, we will find present with us everyone and everything we've ever loved. They're all in us, with us, present, forever. So take heart, beloveds. You cannot lose yourself. You cannot lose love. You cannot lose anything that you truly value. And everything else, you can just disregard it. Just surrender it to love. So I hope this has been helpful to you. My heart is so full of love for each and every one of you. God bless you. May everything that is good and holy and divine and uplifting and joyous and peaceful be present with you. And may we collectively send that blessing out to all sentient beings in all worlds and dimensions and fill all of the cosmos with our love and our appreciation. God bless each one of you, and let's go out chanting Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Love. Namaste.